worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in
friends. How's everybody doing this morning? I am noting a little bit of a signal issue this morning, so hopefully that doesn't last and things correct here for us, and you're not having problems on your end. We've made some changes here in my office location, but that also changed some of the connection that I have, so hopefully it doesn't create a problem for you out there on the other end. Last week, I ran out of memory space on my computer, and that kept me from recording the entirety of the broadcast. So anybody looking for that on the podcast, it's not there, just because that's interesting. I appreciate the live, real-time, signal strength was not what it needed to be, but it looks like it's okay at this point here on my end. So I'm saying that because I want you to be aware that I'm aware that there might be something going on, and I'm going to check one other quick setting. Sometimes it isn't until you go live that you get any notifications about things. Static is interesting. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. And if Fran, please, if the static stays, let me know. I don't know why we have that, but usually it's after the fact I finally figure out what is going on. So anyway, let's get back at it. We're going to talk about assurances today. New Christians need to be assured of several things. Jesus was trying to assure his followers of several things, and especially when you look at the upper room discourse that we've talked about, John 13-17, in that section, there are several things he's really trying to hammer home in the life of his believers. One of those things is salvation. the other thing that he's really trying to hammer home for them is the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they will have the Holy Spirit to teach them, they'll have the Holy Spirit to guide them, that they and the Father are one. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one, and they are with us, the Godhead, entirely, completely with us in the sense that he is present with us. So there are some of those truths that we want to drill down into. There's a wonderful organization called the Navigators. And over the years, they have used some very, very good resources. I've used them for years and years and years and years, and kind of got away from it a little bit because, you know, over the years, people change up their the way they publish things, and I couldn't get them for a while, and that was a little bit sad for me to see them take that step and not have some things as publicly available as they once did. So let me just list out what some of those assurances would be. An assurance of salvation. That is one. An assurance of answered prayer, that God will answer prayer. Another assurance, an assurance of victory, that God will give us victory over things in our lives. And some of these, you know, we've got to wrestle through, because I think there are great things that we want to help young believers face and focus on. But also, I think one of the other realities is sometimes it's like, okay, this doesn't come quite as easy as maybe sometimes we lead people to think or to believe in that sense. The assurance of forgiveness, that is one absolute that I think is a daily thing that we want to help people understand. The assurance of God's guidance, the assurance of God's presence, and there are five that I'm looking at right now, and we'll talk through some of these things, but we want young believers to be encouraged in their lives about who God is and what God has done for them and what God will continue to do for them, and that God is present with them, and all of these wonderful thing. First is salvation. How do we gain salvation? You know, there's a lot of confusion about that out there. Some would say, well, we earn it by being good people. We earn it by going to church enough. We earn it. It is part us and part God. You know, there are things that we do, and there are things that God does. We kind of do this thing together. And I would tell you that there is no earning of our salvation. There's only responding to our salvation. It's a salvation that God is holding out to us, and it's free for the taking. Now, yes, there will be results in our lives. There will be evidences in our lives that we have really, fully, truly taken a hold of this salvation. But it's not something that, you know, some people say, well, I need to clean up my act first. No, you can't clean up your act. God has to do this work in you. He will cleanse you. He will fit you. It's a work that God does from the inside out. Salvation is something to which we respond. We understand. It's God's grace being offered and extended to us. And we'll look at a couple of verses today that will help us just to understand that. You don't earn it. Now, if you've truly encountered Christ, I believe it's going to show up in your life. I didn't clean up my life before I gave my life to Christ. There was no, you know, the variety of sins in my life that I won't go into. It wasn't like I said, well, I got to get rid of these things before I'm good enough for God. No, we're never good enough for God. God knows our sins. God knows our ways. God knows God knows our thoughts. God knows our motivations. God knows our stresses. God knows all these things about us. He knows our failures. He knows our thoughts. Even before we think them, God knows all of these things. And yet he's chosen to love us. He knows that we are a mess. And he steps in and says, I offer you a new life. That's another reality that we want to look at. Let me take us over to some verses here in the scriptures. I'm going to begin with 1 John chapter 5. And this is a classic passage that I'm gonna read the entirety of this section here in 1 John chapter 5. And you would know this is one of these things. If you have your own Bible, you either write this in the front cover, assurance of salvation, or you write this, you just remember it's 1 John 5, and then you maybe highlight these verses in your Bible, or make a notation here, assurance of salvation, something along those lines. But let's take a look here at 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Now, water and blood, I mean, it's the idea he was, there's two aspects of the water and the blood here. One aspect of the water and the blood is that he was born just as we are, and in the natural birthing process, there is water and there is blood. Now, we would know the water is amniotic fluid, and then there's blood involved in the natural birth, but then also came by water and came by blood. Even the conception process, conceived of the Holy Spirit, but the one who came by water and blood, or in other words, came in the flesh and blood. That is another way that you could look at this. He came in flesh and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. Now, secondarily, I would also point out the water and the blood, the idea of the cross. At the cross, there was the shedding of the blood. In his crucifixion, there was shedding of blood, and in his crucifixion, there's also water. Now, what I mean, there's also water. Remember when they threw the spear through his side, and it says that water came out? Have you heard of cardiac arrest? You know what cardiac arrest is? Someone can be in cardiac arrest. Is it cardiac arrest? Is that what I'm thinking of? Is that the right medical term? But basically, where fluid builds up in the cavity around the heart and puts pressure on the heart, and that often leads to death. Well, in Jesus' case, when the soldier threw the spear through his side and out came water, it's the medically, we understand that his chest cavity was filling with water, and he was basically suffocating, and the water was putting the pressure upon his heart, causing him to go into heart failure. That's the word I'm looking at, not cardiac arrest, heart failure. So he came by water and blood. Water and blood at crucifixion, water and blood in birth. This is Jesus who came this way. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It signifies the significance of the blood aspect. Now, we could also go into the aspect of the blood of being of human lineage. God, the Spirit, being the impregnator, being the one who would cause the pregnancy of Mary, and would bring about the birth of Jesus, but yet there is the blood aspect of Jesus Christ. And I'm getting deeper into this aspect than what I had really planned to, so I'm not going to linger here long. But flesh and blood, as you and I are flesh and blood. And it says the Spirit testifies, and as the Spirit testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three are in agreement. Spirit testifies that he is the Son of God. The Spirit testifies that he was born a virgin birth. The Spirit testifies that he died, as was evident by blood and water. The three are in agreement. And he says, we can accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given us about his Son. Now, I just need to make a comment there. I mean, we live in a day and a culture and a time when people don't believe in God. They're choosing to ignore the facts. And the facts are there. And we live, unfortunately, here in America, in a place and a time when people make up their own facts. They make up their own truth. In fact, I heard that yesterday, I think it was, I was driving back from Penny Memorial Church over in Augusta and listened to a little bit of news, and somebody in the news, and I remember who it was, I don't want to give them the dignity of saying who it was, said, well, you know, I just want my truth to be heard. And, oh, wait a minute, there's my truth. Well, my truth versus the truth, are they different? And see, that's one of the problems we have in America today, is everybody has their own truth versus the truth. What are the truth of the facts? And here, what we're talking about is the truth of the facts. But when people reject God, there's no longer the facts. There's no longer, we overlook the facts. That is where American culture, sadly, for not all, but too many in our culture have come to the point where they ignore the facts. As an example, the fact of creation, the fact of all of the evidence pointing to the veracity, the truthfulness of the existence of God. Now, in that day, they believed in God largely, and the Romans believed in all kinds of gods, but there was at least the dignity of acknowledging a higher power. Now, again, there's a weakness in acknowledging simply higher power, but in that day, they acknowledged God's testimony, they acknowledged the greatness of a higher power, and so this verse telling us here, God's testimony is greater because it's testimony of God, which he's given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him, who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he's not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. Now, you go back to 1 John chapter 1, and we see John talking about how we're liars when we deny our sinfulness. So anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And here we go. This gets us into assurance now, the assurance of salvation. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So, I mean, if you're witnessing to someone, if you're sharing Christ with somebody, this is a place that you can go and say, now, you know, the life is in his Son. You want to have eternal life. That eternal life is found in Jesus. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I mean, these are great evangelism verses to use with people. Do you have the Son of God? Well, how do you know that you have the Son of God? There are two things. John chapter 1, verse 12. For as many as received him, even to those who believed in his name, he's given them the right to be called children of God. That is the truth that we have given to us from God. If you know that you have received him, if you know that you have believed in him, not to receive him is the idea of to say, I receive, I acknowledge, he is the Rabboni, he is the rabbi, he is the teacher, he is the Savior, he is the Son of God, he is the Lord, And so to receive him is to receive that truth about him. But, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say to ask Jesus into your heart. It never says that. But what I would say is this. That truth of who he is takes up residence in our heart, and we believe that truth. And in that sense, we receive him, and we believe in him. If a person can say, yes, I've received him, I acknowledge these truths about him, and I believe these things, then that person becomes a child of God. It isn't by our works. It isn't by going to church. It isn't by doing charity work. It isn't by being a nice person. It isn't any of those things. It is acknowledging Jesus. And here it tells us right here in this verse, God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that's the question you'd ask people. Do you have the Son of God? If you have the Son of God, then you have the assurance of eternal life. And it gets into the next verse, verse 13. So, I mean, you could really, if you wanted to underscore these three verses, 1 John 5, verses 11, 12, and 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Now, the next verse gets into answer prayer, and we'll look at answer prayer tomorrow. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. We want people to know. We want people to be convinced that they have eternal life. We want them to be absolutely convinced that they have eternal life. And so this is a verse we point them to. Do you have the Son? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you received Jesus? If you have received Jesus, then you know you have eternal life. Absolutely. And that's something you want your young believers to know if they've received Jesus. If they've believed in Jesus, John 1:12, key verse to know if you are teaching the Bible to other people. And I would hope that many of us would become disciple makers. I mean, that's the goal. Really, I should change the title of this to the Daily Disciple Making Podcast, because we want to be disciple makers, not just living in discipleship. We want to be those who are making disciples of other people. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we've asked of him. We want to know these things. We want, and that's the next piece. We'll look at that tomorrow. I'm getting ahead of myself. Answered prayer. I mean, the presence of God. That is another key piece that I want us to understand, that God is with you. We need to have the assurance of the presence of God with us. And Jesus gave many assurances in that upper room discourse to his disciples that he would be with them. And on Mount Arbel, when he gave the Great Commission, the last piece of that, I just shared this with a brother this morning, that Matthew 28 verse 20b, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age, the assurance that God is with you. So an assurance that you want to help young believers know, or even older believers. I've known people that have been believers for years, but because they have kind of been given a theology that you can lose your salvation, they've been given a theology that it is your works plus Jesus' works that gets you salvation, that they're in and out. They're not convinced of their salvation. They don't know that they've got their salvation, and it's problematic. And so we want to help people gain an understanding of the salvation that they have in Christ by faith, and to be absolutely assured of that. Now, you know, I sin every day. You sin every day. We all sin every now. Now, some of us may sin less than others. I have my areas that where I struggle. I have my areas where I don't struggle, but I ought to struggle. I have the things that I am very aware of. I have things I'm not so much aware of. But I'm convinced of my salvation. I know I've believed in Jesus, even though I can be an abysmal failure at times. I know I have believed in Jesus. I know that, and here's another verse. Let me take us to just one other place here, over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, up at the top of the page there for you, 2, 8, 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. Now the question is, what this is it talking about? Well, some of us would teach it is all three things in the first part of that verse. Grace is not from yourselves, it's God's grace. Salvation is not from yourself. It's a salvation that God has given you. Even faith is not from yourself. There are those of us who teach God even instill. We don't even have the ability to believe on our own. And even God even gives us the ability to believe and have faith. So it is all from God. And it says in this verse, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is all of God. Salvation is all of God and what he has done. Now, I do think there's a human element to this. I think there's an element wherein we ourselves also need to, we have to believe. We have to respond to the gift that God has given us. If I hold out to you a $100 bill and say, this is yours, and you don't take it out of my hand, even though I've told you it's yours, if you don't take it out of my hand, it will do you no good. You have to take it out of my hand. So that's just the reality. You've got to take it. If it's going to work, you've got to take it. So it's the same way with salvation. You have to take hold of salvation. But once you've taken hold of it, you need to be absolutely convinced that, yes, you've got it. It is yours. I've believed in the Son. I've received the Son. I know I have salvation. Well, friends, I'm going to stop there for today. Again, you can be in prayer. This is an immensely busy time. On Saturday, this last Saturday, we had about 130 people or so together for a church renewal event here in America. We have, new churches that are starting, but a lot of old churches that we want to see renewed, revitalized. And so we had an event on Saturday, fantastic event. All-day event that filled up my day. Yesterday, I spoke at Penny Memorial United Baptist Church over in Augusta, a good couple hundred people at that event, and so that filled up my morning into the afternoon a little bit, and then this week, just so much happening, preparing to go out of town the next few weeks. On the weekends, I'll be gone this weekend to Augusta, not very far, Friday and Saturday for all-day events on Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I'll be doing a consultation in southern Maine. Next week, going to Massachusetts for an event down there, which is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All at the same time as hiring new staff for the college and you can pray for me. I mean, I feel the weight of many, many things, many demands that I have. Pray particularly, and I throw this out there. Many of you are aware of Joseph, who is a partner in ministry. We have done ministry together. They're multiplying churches. I've been there on the ground in South Sudan. If you want to write to me or reach out to me about some particular needs that are there, This is a person that I want to, and I don't want to feel, I need to hold back in sharing this, but, you know, to get them some of the support that they need, and because they are multiplying churches throughout South Sudan, and that is where we put our aid, because we're trying to get them trained and ratified through J-Life Africa, our partners. If it weren't for that, then you know, I probably would have moved on from them, because we have to work through partners, and I'm limited in where I can go, how much I can speak, how much I can do, and that's why we work with partners that are in these places to they know what's happening, and J-Life Africa certainly is a place that we were trying to get Joseph and some of his young leaders connected into J-Life as J-Life representatives, which is Jesus Life. You can look up jlife.org if you want more information about J-Life, a concentric partner. But just pray. There's a lot of weight. We're moving the college from Bangor to Augusta. And we have to be out of our building by May 1st. And on May 4th, I leave for South Africa to work with our global partners as we strategize over there. So just much, much prayer. I appreciate much prayer. I've been having some health issues in the last few weeks that have been somewhat problematic. And I would just pray. I think a lot of it has to do with pressure. And even though I bring the pressure to God, it's still a weight that I feel. So I'd appreciate your prayers in that way. Well, I'm going to get you into your day and ask the Lord's blessing on you. Lord, help us to live in the assurance of our faith, to live in the assurance of our salvation, to give us the assurance of the strengthening power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Assure us of your presence, and we'll talk about that later this week. But for today, anybody that needs assurance of their salvation, or, Lord, us as disciple makers, I'm calling all my friends listening, disciple makers, I pray for them that you'd help them to help others live in the assurance of their faith, that we might honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I will see you later. Have a great day.